I want to start by reading a verse that's very controversial today. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, Christians have loved that verse for generations, but today we're living in a religiously pluralistic society. Everybody's truth is the same. Let's honor every approach to God. And now we end up, as Christians, looking like we're extremely narrow-minded because of that verse. Christianity is an exclusive faith. It says, this is the way, not this is a way, this is the way. In fact, early Christians were called the way instead of Christians. So you can see the problem, the clash that we're going to get with today's world. So what's the problem? Christians are called narrow-minded. They're called arrogant, dogmatic. And it's because of this new definition of tolerance. And by the way, I have a talk on that. And you're welcome to go take a look at it at apologeticsforlife.org. And if you have questions, you can always email me, Gary, at apologeticsforlife.org. But anyway, so we live in a world today full of a new definition of tolerance, pushing multiculturalism, religious pluralism, and you come across a statement like that from Jesus saying he's the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to God except through him. Wow. So what do we get today instead? We get these wonderful stories. Well, wait a minute, that can't be right. Religions are kind of like this story of a little place up in India. And it had several blind people in this town, and they'd never seen an elephant, never heard of an elephant in that town. So they brought in an elephant, and the blind men, just like everybody else, went up to it to see what it was all about. One blind man holds on to the tail and says, "Ah, I understand the elephant now. An elephant's like a rope." Another blind man comes and grabs a leg, and he says, "No, no, how could you say that? You're wrong. An elephant's like a pillar." A third blind man feels the side of the elephant and says, "You are both crazy. The elephant is like a wall." And so this story is told as an illustration of religious pluralism. Everybody has a little piece of the truth. We think we're right, but not everybody is. We all just have pieces of the truth. And it took the Raja, the leader of the town, to come out and say, "Stop your bickering, stop your bickering. You all have a piece of the truth, but not the whole truth." Then there's a story of people on a road, and they're hiking along trying to get to the top of this mountain. And they look around, they say, "Well, I guess we're it." And when they get to the top, they're surprised because they see other people. They say, "Where'd you come from?" And they said, "Well, there are other ways up here." And the story told by the pluralists today is, if we could just get up in a helicopter and look down, we would see people moving along these different paths. One path might be Buddhism. Another one might be Hinduism, one might be Jehovah's Witness or whatever. And we just all have to see that this is all approaching God from different directions. So those are the illustrations. By the way, I talk about the problem with those illustrations in another talk about do all roads lead to God. But let's talk about the Christian response, the Christian answer to this attack that we're narrow-minded, that we're arrogant or dogmatic. The first answer, I think, is pretty simple. We didn't make it up. We're not claiming this because it makes us feel good. We're saying this is what Jesus claimed. This was his point. A second answer is, are we narrow-minded? Well, we think we're right, but all faiths are exclusive, aren't they? And that includes atheism, by the way. Think about Buddhism. How'd that start? A man named Buddha, called Buddha later, started the faith because he thought Hinduism was wrong. So these faiths are exclusive. Each says, this is the way the world is. This is what's wrong with the human race. This is how we solve it. And the other thing is there are huge differences in religions. So, for example, what happens when you die? Some people say you get reincarnated. Atheists say you just lie there and rot. Christians say you go to heaven. You've got all these different views. They can't all be right. They all talk about a different kind of God that they worship. So when you hear narrow-minded Christians, just keep in mind, every religion has its different view of what's right and what's wrong and morality and things like that. It's really disrespectful, isn't it, to say that they're all the same. You remember today we're supposed to honor all beliefs today, multiculturalism and tolerance. Hey, everybody's okay. Well, religions would actually be upset with that. What do you mean that every religion is the same? They all teach something very different. And you're not honoring the religion to say, oh, you guys are all talking about the same thing. Not true at all. And then we got problems with that illustration, both those illustrations. Remember? Talked about the blind men and the elephant. They grope a different part of the elephant. The Raja comes on and says, well, you guys just don't have sight. I do, and I'm telling you that you all have a piece of the truth. Well, what's wrong with that illustration? Pretty simple. Who appointed you to be the Raja? You're saying that all of us religious people are blind, but only you have sight. Only you have discovered the true nature of God, and the rest of us are pretty stupid. We're blind. That's pretty arrogant, don't you think? What about the roads leading up the mountain? Who gets to be in the helicopter? You and I are trudging up that mountain, maybe on different trails, maybe the same trail. We can't see the other trails, but it's only the person in the helicopter that's able to look all over the place. How'd that person get to be in the helicopter? That's the God's eye view. Again, pretty arrogant. Another point here. Oh, you Christians are narrow-minded. There's no such thing as a true religion. They're all pretty much the same. Really? Well, if you want to talk about narrow-minded, how about people who have been honest enough to tell us why, for example, they are atheists? Let me give you one example. This is Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World. He said, I had motive for not wanting the world to have a meaning. They consequently assumed that it had none and was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption. Now we're going to come, I'm going to finish this in a minute, but I want you to think about what he's just said here. He says, I had a motive for not wanting the world to have a meaning. So in other words, he's not open-minded, he's narrow-minded. He does not want there to be a God. Why is that? Let's keep going. Says, he's concerned to prove that there's no valid reason why he personally should not do as he wants to do, or why his friends should not seize political power and govern in the way that they find most advantageous to themselves. For myself, and here comes the kicker, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation, sexual and political. So he's honest. I appreciate that. He says, well, I am an atheist because of what? Reasons? No. He says it was an instrument. It was something he could use to gain liberation for sex and political motives. So is that narrow-minded? You bet. He says, here's my answer to life, and I'm going to ignore any other answer. But his reasons are not based on evidence. Christianity, at least, is a falsifiable religion. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the faith is no good. If Paul never lived, don't trust the faith. If the Gospels were written hundreds of years later, how could you trust that? So Christianity is far different. It's far more inclusive. It takes in areas of science and archaeology and manuscript evidence. But Aldous Huxley says, nope, he's so narrow-minded, he says, I'm going to go with my philosophy just because it gives me some moments of liberation. Let me share one more narrow-minded response from an atheist. Remember, they're supposed to be the broad-minded people. We're supposed to be narrow-minded. Here's Thomas Nagel. He's a professor of philosophy and law at New York University. Again, he's gotten himself in trouble with fellow atheists because of some of the things that he said. His honesty shines out. Okay, here we go. Here's Nagel. I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope that I'm right in my belief. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. So do you hear what he's saying? He is going to put his blinders on. He's going to approach all of his evidence, all of his philosophy, all of his rational thinking with a hope that atheism is true. And he says, I don't want there to be a God. That's pretty narrow-minded. He doesn't say, I've looked at the evidence carefully, and I think it comes down more heavily on the side of atheism. He says, I don't want the universe to be like that. So he's just going to ignore evidence, just like Huxley says. So many people don't want there to be a true religion, and they're as narrow, I'd say they're more narrow-minded than Christians. Here's something else you might think about when people talk about narrow-mindedness. What they're doing is using self-refuting arguments. So, let me give you an example of a self-refuting argument. Again, I've talked about this in my Introduction to Apologetics lecture and video. You can take a look at apologeticsforlife.org. But we're going to tie this into this whole idea of being narrow-minded. A self-refuting argument is an argument that destroys itself because of the way it's expressed. So, for example, somebody comes up to you and says, I cannot speak a word of English. And you look at the person and you say, then I don't need to believe that statement because you just spoke English. So your statement destroyed the idea behind the statement. Now, how is this going to tie into this narrow-minded business? Well, people will say, oh, there's no right way. There's no truth. You're intolerant. There's no specific way. Nobody can know any truth about religion. Well, think about those statements. Let's take one at a time. There's no truth in religion. But that's a truth claim about religions. So there is some kind of truth, that there is no truth. So do you see how that statement doesn't hold up logically? Somebody else says, you're intolerant. Well, wait a minute. That person is not tolerating you, correct? So who's the intolerant one? The person that accuses you of intolerance. You don't need to pay any attention to that objection to you. How about this person that says there's no specific way, but that's a specific claim. How about this? Nobody can know any truth about religion. That's a truth claim. So here we go again. These statements are round and round and round. They don't actually claim anything useful. So our solution, how do we get out of this mess? Well, we could group religions and study them. People say, oh, it's just too confusing. Let's just say Christians are narrow-minded. Let's be more broad-minded. It's not too confusing. They basically have three choices. Either there is an Eastern approach where God is everything and impersonal, or a secular, which says there's no God at all, or you've got traditional Christian and Muslim and Jewish beliefs that there's a personal God. And we can decide where the truth lies. To say you're arrogant, you're narrow-minded is a way not to handle the evidence. But we can take a look. We can judge religions. We can look at their holy books. We can look at their founders. We can look at their beliefs. We can look at their history. There are ways to distinguish between them. And I think we'll see some really interesting things if we do that. That's another talk. I have a talk about can we test religions? My answer is sure we can. And we can ask questions too. And people say you're narrow-minded. We could start with a very simple question. What do you mean by that? And they probably mean, well, you think you're right and other people are wrong. What do you think a good comeback to that is? Well, don't you think you're right? Isn't that why you're trying to correct me? Because you think you're right and you think I'm wrong. Well, how is it that when you think you're right and I'm wrong, you're just smart and reasonable, but I'm narrow-minded? We both think we're correct. So think of that question there. What do you mean by that? And then you can go the next step. You say you think I'm narrow-minded. What do you mean by that? Why do you say that? Now you're asking for evidence. See what they say. Here's another good question. Have you investigated religions? You're saying that I'm making a truth claim. Have you really looked at the differences between the religions? Why not Jesus? There's another good question. Why are you turning your back on him? So we can, as a wind up here, we can remind people that there are huge differences between Christianity and all other religions. Yes, there. We shouldn't say we're being intolerant or we're being arrogant. We're just saying Christianity is far different from other religions. We can pretty much lump all other religions that says you have to earn God's love. You have to chase him. You have to make him happy. Christianity says God chases us. God came to us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So don't take that as a negative thing to when people call out to us about being a narrow-minded Christian. There are ways to respond to that. Of course, we want to do it with kindness and graciousness. but there are some good responses.